Blog Talk Radio.
The North American Wrestling Connection. For over 50 months, the revolutionary force in talk entertainment. The North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by
John Cena!
I just want to hear half of the arena say, "Let's go, Cena." And the other half say, "Actually, you know what? If we're going to do it, we're going to do it right." I want every woman and every child to say, "Let's go, Cena." And I want every guy over the age of 18 to say, "Cena sucks." Is that all right? "Let's go, Cena," from the ladies and kids, and "Cena sucks" from the dudes. Who do you think can be louder? Let's go, Cena! Cena sucks!
If I may channel my inner JR, ladies and gentlemen, this is a moment. Feel it. Embrace it, if you will. Welcome to the latest installment of the North American Wrestling Connection. My name's Jim Williams. Do not adjust your internet or your ears. Nikki has not gotten a deeper peso voice. Nikki is off tonight. Here's the thing. Funniest thing happened on the way to this program tonight. We initially weren't going to do a show. But then something happened, something that is, dare I say, awesome.
Oh, yeah, baby.
We'll get to that momentarily, but first, let's meet the people I call our panel. Bringing in the Tandy Dans is Carl Chenier.
Good evening. How are you tonight, Jimbo?
Doing well, brother, doing well. Out of Thibodeau, Louisiana. Joining us on the left coast, his first appearance on our show, it is Ethan Muslin from SoCal. Happy Thanksgiving. You brought the drumsticks, right?
Yeah, it's just all bones now, unfortunately.
I understand, yes. Joining us from the greater Brooklyn metropolitan area, if there is such a thing, bringing the mashed potatoes, a personal favorite of mine, a personal favorite of yours, I'm sure, as well, Jason Block. Good evening, Jason.
Good evening, and I have to say that Cena promo was the most honest and real he has been in about 2 years, and I absolutely loved it. That was so cool.
It was a marked-out moment for me, I got to be honest.
Fun times.
That was awesome. Now, I have somebody coming in on the line that's nothing but ones. May you identify yourself. Is this fourth?
Yes. I can see you have three people already.
No. If you want to stay aboard, you're more than welcome to. I'll let you stay on board. We'll make it a four-pack tonight.
Cool. I just wanted to build on that promo. I did want to say that's something that Cena has that Lesnar didn't, that Cena can roll with the punches from the fans. And that's why I enjoyed the promo.
I agree. I mean, that is, he knew he had the crowd in the palm of his hand, whether they liked him or they didn't like him, and he made it work. And he thrived on it either way. That's what And I say past tense when I really shouldn't, and we'll explain that in a moment. But first, before we even get to that, we're going to recap Pick'ems here. And they go a little something like this. Thank you very much. Let's see. We're going to just go through here. I'll just mention who got points. We'll start with... yes. Let's just go with the overall because we know what happened pretty much. Starting in the bargain basement, the person who gets the beloved Flush of the Night award. That would be... with a colossal score, shut up. Oh, I just dropped a big one before the show. I'm sorry. With a colossal score of 2, and I'm surprised that it happened to such Jason with 2 points. I'm sorry, brother.
Oh, boy.
You know what? But that's okay because the show itself, from what I read, was a pretty darn good show, and it built into something which we saw Monday night, which we'll get to. But that's okay.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
So Jason in fourth place with 2 points, sharing a bronze medal. And isn't the bronze medal the equivalent of the TNA championship belt anymore? The
oh,
wait, we're pretty
frank
to get
all. Oh,
nice.
Right.
I think that's the medal.
Yeah, it's true, Ethan. Well played, well played. Nikki and DJ tying with 3 points apiece. And then you've got the silver medal belonging to a three, an unholy trinity of people. You've got the father, that would be me. The son, that would be Carl. And the holy stat boy, Josh Henniger, all with 6 points. And your winner, and new juicer weight, fizzle weight, whatever weight, champion of the world, with 7 points, the man they call, not first, second, or third, but fourth. Congratulations,
nice.
Fourth.
Very good.
Even how I did the last time.
There we
go. Congratulations.
Thank you. Given how we did the last time with predictions, it is kind of an odd worst to first kind of deal.
Well, you were picking you're picking TNA. I mean, give me a break.
Yeah. Well, it's been a while since we picked TNA, and that's coming up another week or two, I believe, as their Final Resolution pay-per-view comes your way. Oh, boy, I expect the buy rates to be scintillating. Anywho, the big story coming out of Survivor Series, of course, was that Randy Orton retained his championship. John Cena made the pin, the cover, so he was quote-unquote fired. We fast forward to Monday Night Raw. John Cena, this was the reason a lot of people tuned in, his speech. Now, Jason, you hit the nail on the head. That there were very real qualities about it. Expound upon that a little bit.
Well, I mean, we pretty much kind of guess. Well, we'll get into later that why John Cena won't be quote unquote fired. But for the storyline perspective, all right, fine. You know, Barrett earlier on in the night he comes out with Nexus and says, "I'm granting you, you fans, John Cena's one last promo." And Cena played it off like it was the Shawn Michaels retirement speech, if you want to
say it
that. Okay, that's the vibe that I got. And he mentioned his mother, he mentioned a niece, his brother. He put some real human moments to it, and there were no poopy jokes. It felt like a legitimate promo from him. And the whole things over 18, you know, Cena sucks sort of stuff, we've heard it once or twice before, but it didn't feel as real before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I mean, that's why it was just a nice promo. And, of course, after the promo was over, you had, Cena walking out and Orton and Cena hugging, which was a little bizarre given the way Orton kicked his father in the head, a little storyline consistency there.
Yeah, I would agree with that. In fact, it was the closest that many Cena and Dan girls would have to a moment involving...
Baby oil! Right, exactly.
Kind of weird moment there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was a little no-homo.
And then he walks out, and as soon as he walked out, I went in my brain and I said, he's not done. I honestly believe that this was not over. Okay.
Okay. Let me stop you right there. Were you guys in agreement? The rest of the panel, Ethan, were you of that belief as well? That something's got to be up, obviously.
Yeah, I figured that something was going to happen. They were going to try to bring him back. When I first saw him leaving, my thought was like, okay, they're going to have to find some way to bring him back. First thing that thought to my mind was, something they did a few years ago for Savage when Savage was quote unquote retired, and they had some sort of fan effort to say, we want Cena back. That's what I'm thinking. Something's going to come up for that.
Let me piggyback it further and kind of extend the question, because we would later find out, of course, during the title match during the night that Cena would interfere with the title match and ultimately would be a big reason why Randy Orton would at the time retain his title. Was anybody surprised that he was brought back into the fold, quote-unquote, so quickly? I mean, yes, not officially, but essentially he was.
I was. I thought he was going to be on TV for at least 2 weeks. At least that. Give people some time to process it in their heads, like, holy crap, Cena is really gone. And then all of a sudden he, you know, they could do the same thing, but just do it a couple weeks later. It just seemed like, wow, that was quick.
Worth your thoughts?
I'm sorry,
go ahead.
There is a television reason for that, and that's called sweeps. Remember, I believe we are still in November sweeps, and if you did it a couple
another
weeks
week,
later,
yeah.
it would not matter or mean as much. That's all. I'm sorry. I'll shut up now.
No, it's okay. Fourth, your thoughts, kind of piggybacking off of Ethan a little bit here. Did you think that they should have waited a little bit, maybe sold that he was gone for at least longer than an hour and a half?
To be honest, I expected them to go a little more long-term, and at least till late January, early February, but I didn't expect it this quickly, no.
Carl, your thoughts?
Jason, I'm surprised you didn't mention this while you were talking about the promo and all. Randy Orton was not the only person that Cena hugged, quote-unquote.
Mm-hmm.
He went over to the desk and hugged Michael Cole as well.
Oh, wow. Okay. I don't usually look at men hugging Michael Cole, okay?
Unless it's Alex Riley, and, you know, it's a high five.
Yeah, but anyway.
Well, actually, what I had heard was that was an attempt to bring some authenticity to that, because from what I have read behind the scenes, Cena and Cole are actually good buddies and good friends, so...
That's
I,
what
I think
I was getting
way,
at.
Yeah. Oh, well, then I just spoiled it for you. Sorry about that.
Oh, well, that makes me hate him even more. So what can I say? It's enough to make
you
say.
Hey, is my gong out here?
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm gonna be playing the soundboard as much as I can, and there's not much to work with, so bear with me.
Mm-hmm.
but I'll tell you this. I thought they would milk it a little bit. I had the impression, you know, Cena would go off, maybe do his movie, and maybe he still is. I don't know. But we'd see a triumphant return around Royal Rumble time. But no, it looks as if he's going to be a part of things still, of course, immediately. We knew he wasn't going to be truly fired. I get a kick out of that. Some publications went nuts.
And on his Twitter page this week, he stated, yep, I quote-unquote bought tickets for Raw in Philly next week. So... he's going to make another appearance there.
Yeah.
And
but there's more to that, yes.
And sorry, Jim, I have to mention this because this is not Turkey. This when I read about this, I actually laughed my ass off, literally, because it's so dumb, but yes, it's wrestling. Okay?
Yes.
Okay. okay. As we all know, John Cena has made house show commitments throughout December, but in storyline, he's fired, right?
Yes.
Right.
There was a press release this week, because we all know the famous card subject to change. I believe there is a fatal four-way match going around the house show circuit between Barrett, Orton, The Miz, and John Cena. Scheduled.
Mm.
But right now, and this is the absolute God's honest truth, John Cena's Mexican cousin, Juan Cena, I swear to God, is taking John Cena's place. So we are going to see John Cena, probably in a lucha mask, wrestling in the house show.
Oh, wow, yes.
And I read
that. Because that would be stupid.
Yeah, it's stupid, but you want to know something? I give...
Yeah.
There's a little bit of like, okay, it's cute.
This is fun.
It's fun. It's stupid. It's goofy. It's a doofus sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
it is.
And you know what? But fine. But good grief. It's funny. And he'll probably, you know, at the end lift off the mask and go, ha ha, we know it's me. Like Mr.
Oh,
America
exactly.
did.
Oh,
that's exactly what I thought.
Mm-hmm. Here's an interesting point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes, Carl.
Yeah, this happened, 2 years ago? It was called Curry Man in TNA.
Oh, yeah.
It happened before then. It was Mr. America. Though,
that's
fair,
right, yeah.
Mr. America was funny early on, then they kind of went overboard with it.
Right. Well, when I first heard about this gimmick, I said to myself, boy, Chavo Classic really must be needing the money. I'm telling you, this is just... You know, first he has to be the chauffeur for Alberto Del Rio. Now he's got to be John Cena gone mad. Because we all have a Mexican cousin. I mean, come on, you know.
Yeah.
We have, that's the sound that means somebody we know familiar is calling. Somebody familiar we know is calling. I can't speak. It's a trip to Japan tonight, folks. Line 5. Hello.
My name is Juanita Heyman.
Welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, Santina is joining us on the show tonight. And, hi, Nikki. How's it going?
It's going very well. I'm glad to see that the show is still intact.
Yes.
Apparently, but yes, it is. Yes. We're getting to the Juan Cena part. Yeah, well, for now, give us a few minutes. Give us 22 minutes. We'll burn it to the ground. Don't worry. No, but... the whole John Cena thing, it befuddles me, the whole Juan Cena thing. I mean, if this ends up going to air, which I doubt.
No way.
I severely doubt.
No, it better not.
But, so that goes. Well, anyway, let's move on from John Cena. We'll come back to him as we often do in life because John Cena just is the world and we just live in it. The big match we mentioned, Orton Barrett, Mr. Cena saw his way into the match, not unlike Nexus seeing their way into the match before the match ever happened. And Orton ends up retaining the championship thanks to a little help from John Cena. But wait, I don't have the record scratched, so somebody do the sound for me. Okay, I heard a lot of dead doggies in a Chinese restaurant just then.
Upload the sound
first, it's okay. Well, yeah, I don't know what's up with the soundboard. A lot of sounds are missing. I blame Seidelman. Anyway, when in doubt, blame him. No, yeah. Hi, Rob. No, what ends up happening is the Miz decides to cash in Money in the Bank, you know, on a wounded Apex Predator, and ultimately pulls it off to the joy of Michael Cole, who borderline orgasms all over the announce table.
He did, but there was sorry, Jim, but there was. But if you remember correctly, it was set up brilliantly earlier in the night because the Miz was supposed to fight Ezekiel Jackson.
Yes,
in the King of the Ring qualifier. And Alex
the
Riley.
The password is stiff.
Yeah.
Some of us.
And Alex Riley says that the Miz had an anxiety attack and couldn't perform.
Right.
So, and Alex Riley gets squashed like, you know, a bug on a windshield by a drunk driver.
Which reminds me, CM Punk had a great burn on Alex Riley during that match on Raw.
Oh, yeah.
What is he, under the influence or something?
Well, you see
we're on
Punk,
him in a moment later, too.
Yes, and by the way, that's another thing great about Raw. CM Punk rehabbing his injury and adding to the quality of the announce team. He was so brilliant on Monday. He was so awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's going to be here for a while, from understand it.
Right.
I'm sorry
if I'm overtaking you. I apologize. But the one...
That's okay.
The one thing that the WWE production team has to be commended for is the reaction shot of the year.
Yes!
As fan, okay? they caught this girl who must have been no older than, I would say, 10 or 11.
Right.
When the Miz won the title, she had this face like she was, like, had sucked about 25 lemons. And I gotta say, it got the Miz over more than anything else because you looked at it.
Absolutely,
it was so because this girl was so pissed. And
exactly.
And you gotta say also one other thing: the Miz is over as a heel. Booyah!
Yeah, absolutely.
Booyah! Congrats! You deserve. By the way, he deserves this belt. He really and truly does.
Oh, he absolutely does. And let me go further with this before we go around the table here again. I read a lot of places that, you know, oh, this is like David Arquette winning the title. That comes from people who don't know their asses from a hole in the ground. The Miz came up, bargain basement, bottom floor, did the tough enough thing, you know, went through the minor leagues, if you will, OVW, what have you. He went through the proper training. He honed his craft, be it both verbally and in the ring, and is a damn good performer, one of the best on the microphone as well. He deserved to be in the spot he's in. He's in good standing with the company. I'm all for the era of awesome. I'm really all for it. It couldn't happen to a better guy, and he's going to be the future of this company, absolutely, in my opinion. Now, with that being said, I don't know about you, but I was kind of surprised that he cashed in on a Raw after a Survivor Series. Nikki, were you a bit surprised as well?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Yes and no, because pay-per-views, there was already a down enough note to the end of Survivor Series that Cena was getting fired.
Mm-hmm.
We already had a down note that Kane retained.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really want to that negativity? If Miz is over, as we're saying, to have him go out there and destroy Orton and walk out with the title. Now, fans mm-hmm. like, ah, we say that's a beautiful way to end a pay-per-view, but that's just way too much heel at the end of a show. Giving it away mm-hmm. on free TV, you just got more heat from more people. Because it was a 3-point whatever, that was a few million more that actually saw the fiasco, right?
It was a 3-3, I believe, for Raw on Monday night, which is actually up from the 3-hour show the week before, the old school Raw, which is interesting in and of itself. Let me go to fourth here. Were you a little bit surprised that, you know, they decided to cash in on Raw as opposed to a pay-per-view or even a 3-hour Raw?
Well, I think they probably chose here because it was a case where no one was going to expect it. I kind of expected it around the time that Orton got the knee attack from Nexus. But I kind of
sure.
knew that, you know, they were probably going to at least go with him using the briefcase but not really winning it. But
mm-hmm.
I didn't expect him to win it at all, no.
Ethan, your thoughts?
I was kind of surprised that they did it on Raw. excuse me. I had a feeling they were going to do it sometime between Survivor Series and TLC because, yeah, you know, Miz was cutting his promos how he was sick and tired of holding the briefcase. He wanted the title. He was ready to cash it in. So it's like, okay, we had it ensconced in our minds. It was going to be within 1 month. But to do it on the Raw, I thought was quite surprising and actually was a little refreshing because, to be honest, I don't think Raw has had a world title change hands on its show in God knows how many years.
It's been a good while. It has been a good
yeah.
while. Ethan, continue.
Just finishing off the quick thought, it was nice to see the title change hands on the Raw.
Yeah, it was something different, and maybe that had a quick spike in the ratings and that overrun from 11 to 11:10 or whatever.
Yeah.
Carl?
Yeah, it was a little surprising. Actually, as a fan, I would rather have saw it on Survivor Series at the end because it was a big stage and the pay-per-view and all. Yeah, it was a nice change for once.
Yeah, it was definitely a different change, and they threw something at us. I commend them for going that route, and it was different. I wasn't against it. I wasn't for it. I was for it. I'm kidding. What am I saying? Again, the tryptophan, ladies and gentlemen. I can't talk tonight. But yeah, it was a pleasant surprise. And like I said before, it couldn't happen to a more deserving person in the company. Now, the question I have to ask to follow up, and I'll start with you, Jason, realistically, how long do you see Miz holding on to the belt?
Well, I don't see him losing it towards January, okay? Now,
okay.
Because remember, they're not going to lose it towards TLC, okay? That's, I think,
right.
the next pay-per-view in a few weeks. He's probably going to defend it against Orton in a TLC match or some
mm-hmm.
sort of match of some sort. And he's going to win. I, you know, Royal Rumble, who knows there? And then you got Royal Rumble, Elimination Chamber. I think he holds it to Mania. I really do. They're going to give him a shot to run it at the ball, and they're going to have him do it against somebody big, be it Cena, be it Jericho. Jericho the Miz would be great. Jericho Barrett.
Oh, yeah.
You know, things like that. But I am predicting the Miz will hold it through WrestleMania. He'll lose it at WrestleMania, but he'll hold it through there.
All the fanboys, of course, are clamoring for a Bryan Miz rematch. Not so fast, I think. I'd love to see it, but
not yet.
We'll see. Not yet. In due time. Everything to its reason, to its season, turn. Ethan, Ford, Carl, Nikki, do you agree with Jason's assessment there that, you know, he may very well hold the title through Mania?
I do agree he's going to hold the title for Mania. And thanks a lot for stealing my thunder, Jim. That was my bold prediction. I was going to say it was going to be Daniel Bryan versus The Miz at WrestleMania for the title. That's
right.
A freaking
bold
lot.
Bold prediction. Go for it.
I got to disagree a little bit.
The main reason I'm thinking is that, you know, I think Bryan can get over a little more in the months ahead, and he very well may likely win the Royal Rumble. I mean, he's got enough, you know, prowess to do it, and I think it would be a nice thing on his record as well. But in terms of, you know, getting that aside, that can always change. I think
okay,
Miz
we'll go to
does,
Nikki, I'm sorry.
Just,
go ahead,
just
finish up.
Putting it long story short, Miz does hold the title till WrestleMania. I am inclined to
agree.
Okay,
we'll go to Nikki. We'll go to Nikki, then Carl. Go ahead, Nikki.
Well, first of all, I've got two words for Miz Bryant at Mania. Too soon. Bryan has only been in the Fed, starting with NXT. Only this year, not even yet. You can't main event WrestleMania in your first year. There are exceptions. But Bryan isn't going to be one of those people. As you guys know, that Orton is probably the only person I wouldn't cheer next to Miz. I am not a huge fan of Miz. And I agree that he deserves this. I really do. The next time I meet him, I will apologize. Because I honestly never thought I'd see him there. I think he's going to keep it till the Rumble.
Oh,
I don't
who just knocked on the door? Hello?
That'd be me.
Okay, well, we're getting to you, Carl. Well, go ahead.
Oh, no, I got cut off.
That's okay. You're here. We hear you.
Okay.
Feed off of what Nikki was saying there, Carl.
Which I didn't even catch. I'm going to go in between Rumble and Mania. I'm going to say Elimination Chamber.
Okay. Ooh. Interesting. That makes a lot of sense because the odds
are stacked against. We'll keep the title at Rumble, but in Elimination Chamber, that's a big crapshoot, as we all know.
Emphasis on your head, I assume.
Yeah, I can see him losing it at the Chamber. You know, possibly putting some sort of a face champion in the WrestleMania main event, but I definitely think he will not lose it before then.
Fair enough stuff there. For those of you just tuning in, do not adjust your ears once again. It's the North American Wrestling Connection. Nikki is not hosting. She is participating. She's. How much turkey did you have yesterday, Nikki, by the way?
Apparently not as much as you have.
Yes.
Wednesday, we deep fried quite a few turkeys on Redneck Thanksgiving.
There are so many ways I could go with that, but I'm going to be nice.
There were some toasted people, so that, you take that for what you will. We had a traditional turkey dinner, which was amazing. My mother is an awesome cook, so there.
Good.
And I behaved myself because I happen to know that with my luck somewhere, Sweet Lou Roberts is listening to this, and he will kick my ever loving when I get back. There you go.
Well, because she was busy with the holiday, she decided, hey, Jim, Jason, one of you guys take over. And, I Rochambeau'd Jason. He fell down, so I took over.
And he said, we'll kick me back later.
We were talking about Daniel Bryan there, kind of, sort of, with the Bryan Miz thing and how, you know, Nikki mentioned it's too soon. it's not too soon, though, to crown him King of the Ring. They brought back the King of the Ring tournament for the first time in a couple of years, since 2008. And it's an interesting field. First and foremost, I'll start with Forth on this. Are you glad to see King of the Ring back, even if it is a one-night Raw tournament in a three-hour Raw?
To be honest, I am very glad to see it back, because when there's been a great King of the Ring, there's been something really to go forward with for months. So, yeah. You know,
anything else want to jump in?
I was going to say, a great king can just use that gimmick for indefinitely, really.
At least until the next King of the Ring.
Yeah. Until the next round, yes. You guys know the field by and large, so let me go around the horn here. I'm going to start with Nikki. Who's your favorite to be King of the Ring? I guess it would be 2010/2011, technically.
Well, everybody probably already knows my answer to this, although I honestly don't think he's going to win. But that bit me in the butt when it came to Survivor Series.
Yes.
If we're elevating Miz, it's finally time to elevate Morrison. After coming off a very impressive series with Sheamus over the last couple of months, I think they are ready to start moving him up.
Morrison makes a lot of sense.
I am compelled by the power of the ass. I am compelled.
I should have cut you off at the pass right there, but then you would do that to me, and then I would never hear the end of it. Jason, do you concur with Nikki?
While I would like to concur with Nikki, the King of the Ring this year will be one Alberto Del Rio. He is a guy who is a total Mexican dickhead, and his ego combined with all this sort of stuff will make him even more intolerable and more hateful. And as a heel guy, we're gonna love every minute of it. Alberto Del Rio is your new King of the Ring.
El Rey de Ring.
El Rey de los Ring. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. A Mexican dickhead. Didn't we talk about that earlier in the show? No, let's not go there. No. Show we're doing here. I'm really classing the join up. Carl, who do you like as King of the Ring at this point?
I'll give it a toss-up between Brian and Del Rio.
Okay. Any reasons?
For the WWE not to give it to anyone who's on quote-unquote on their shit list in terms of lower card status.
Understandable. All right, let's go to Fourth. Who do you have as King or Ray or any other word that means King of Ring?
I'm not sure how to say King in Gaelic, but I know I think Sheamus is going to be the one to do it.
Ooh, interesting choice.
And I would think a worthy choice in many respects, too, because he's had the championship. He needs maybe a little upping in his status again because he's been notched back down a hair or two. Makes sense. Ethan, what do you think?
My initial gut choice for King of the Ring would be Daniel Bryan, mainly because it's you're in Philadelphia, you're in ROH territory, why not give it to the ROH guy? On the other hand, however, I do like the idea of Sheamus getting the King of the Ring title, because that would give enough reason for Triple H to come back. Then you've got the whole King of the Ring versus the King of Kings sort of BS matchup
good,
that they're going to come up
that,
with.
That's a very valid reason, very valid.
And I kind of want Brian to win it. I think that would be nice. But I have a feeling they won't give it to him. When you're saddled with a gimmick where gals are attacking you, here comes one of the Bella Twins, and you're like, hi, who are you? You're a girl? What's that? And then after your match, comes you win. Both girls. Both Bella Twins. Okay, no. There's not plenty enough for me to go around. You two hug each other. Although that could be construed as not PG if you think hard enough, ladies and gentlemen.
How many moments have there been since the election?
Well, that's true. That's true. Two girls, one.
I will say this: I do think Brian does make it to the finals at the least.
That makes sense. It makes sense. Yeah, I mean, you know, whoever wins it obviously has to win a couple of matches in the night. Should be interesting, and that's the basis behind the 3-hour Raw, of course, from my home market. The, what is it, the Core States? No. First Union? No. Wachovia? No. Wells Fargo? Yes. Center. So,
very nice.
As mm-hmm. they take the wrecking ball to the Spectrum, and I guarantee you by the time they're live on Monday night, the Spectrum will still only have one small hole in it. Get a bigger wrecking ball.
Thank Dr. J for that long-ass speech that night.
Yeah, he put me to sleep. I mean, I love Dr. J, one of my heroes, but good Lord.
Yeah, I heard some of it.
We pretty much hammered home Raw. Let's segue a little bit and talk about, well, mixed martial arts and wrestling here, because we found out. I know. We found out that, first and foremost, before we get to what you think we're going to in terms of TNA, and yes, we will talk TNA, even though I didn't watch it, because, well, I have a brain. We will. Yes, BTR cares. We will talk about another mixed martial artist who feels as though, well, they want to go to the square and circle. Joni Carter, and I quote,
Boo. Read it.
Okay. I want to go to the WWE. I've talked to CM Punk about it. He works out at my gym. I'm coming to acknowledge the midlife crisis that a lot of guys go through where they get a Corvette and a hot blonde girlfriend with big boobs. I've just decided to do the WWE, end quote. Shawnee Carter, WWE. You're our MMA guy here, Jason. You think he's a good fit?
Here is what the problem is with all these MMA guys. Who,
in general, okay.
I'm not talking in general. I'm talking about we've heard people like Rampage Jackson, Shawnee Carter, other people who have gone to MMA. Who want to go to the WWE. You don't notice people like, oh, say, a BJ Penn or a George St. Pierre or all the people who are actually, maybe successful in MMA wanting to go to the WWE. I'm just saying to you that this is sort of a little bit of a desperate tack for people who don't have success or as the major success in the in MMA, UFC, Strikeforce, whatever, to go into the WWE. I mean, it's getting to the point where all, you know, certain wrestlers want to be MMA fighters, and a lot of MMA fighters want to be, you know, WWE guys. Maybe Vince and Dana will have this, you know, have this. You know, a major merger, and then in 2011, we'll just have one massive MMA, WWE, everything.
But this begs a question, though, and I'll fire this off to anybody who wants it. Is this bad for mixed martial arts as well? Because if you my theory, not being a big MMA fan, MMA is trying to distance itself from boxing and from wrestling as not being, quote-unquote, potentially fixed or, of course, obviously storyline written like the WWE, and that they're a legit sport. When you see more of their guys saying, hey, I want to go to the WWE, couldn't that put a cloud of suspicion over MMA?
There's already people out there that think that MMA is fixed. There's a lot of people that think it's a work. There's sometimes out there where the matches, you know, or, you know, something doesn't jive with the matches. I had people tell me that, you know, that Lesnar's last match with Corwin was crap because, you know, there was no way that Lesnar was supposed to lose that match. So I'm not surprised that there's MMA guys that want to go over to the Fed because, hey, you know, it worked the other way around for Lesnar and kind of for Lashley. Why not? There's money to be had.
I noticed something like that, too, when I watched my one and only UFC pay-per-view, which was about a few months ago. And I forget who it was. I think it was like some French fighter kept taunting the other guy. And Dana White just got so pissed off at him that he went down into his corner and yelled at him not to do that. It's like, okay, if that's not a sign that there's something, that there's some chicanery going on in UFC, I don't know what is.
Fair enough. I mean, I don't pay enough attention to mixed martial arts. I mean, I watch the occasional Strike Force, okay, just for Gus Johnson, because I like hearing him yell like an idiot. But still,
yes.
It's a national pastime. He should be a lead announcer somewhere. Anyway, but it's you wonder where the line gets blurred at some point. They want to mark themselves as legit and not like boxing where, you know, there's something suspect here, suspect there. I would think it would blur the line even more if you've got established MMA talent, be them mid-cards, undercards, what have you, wanting to go to the E, as the kids call it, and do the wrestling thing. As Carl bonked off, if he comes back in, we'll let you know.
Remember in UFC 100 when Lesnar beat Mir, he got into a shitload of trouble when he said, I'm going to have a Coors Light, because he wasn't getting paid by Bud Light, if you remember correctly, which is the...
Yes.
Okay, and then said, I'm going to go, and I excuse the roughness of this promo, but this is what he said, I'm going to go back to the hotel room and be on top and screw my wife, if you remember, or something to that effect. That's what he said.
Classy man.
You know, so he cut a wrestling promo, and remember Dana White afterwards fined him for it. He fined him a bunch of cash because he does not want the UFC to be deemed as a wrestling wrestling-like promotion, even though he's marketing it as it.
Right, but Dana White's excuse was just the fact that Lesnar, you know, busted out, you know, started talking about a sponsor that wasn't on the show and essentially offended or just, you know, probably violated a contract with a sponsor, just something you don't do. Is it a work?
Makes you wonder.
Yep.
Makes you wonder.
I just did a quick look up because I remembered where the event was. I found it. It was when UFC was in Abu Dhabi with Anderson Silva taunting Damian Maia at UFC 112. That whole incident, so.
Okay, well, I believe Anderson Silva is Brazilian, I think. So,
okay, I couldn't remember offhand, so that's why.
It's cool, but yeah, you don't want to, I mean, there has been an occasional taunting here and there on both UFC, on their, you know, the tough enough-like program, The Ultimate Fighter, and an occasional pay-per-view. So, yeah, I mean, this whole wrestler versus, you know, wrestling versus MMA / boxing, the lines are getting blurred, you know, even more and more, which is...
Yeah.
But at this point, you know, UFC is getting God knows how many more multiple buys than WWE, so they're doing something right in theory. So here's more of the blurring of the line of MMA to wrestling, and this segues into TNA. First of all, raise your hand if you watch TNA. Anybody? Anybody in the room? Anybody?
No,
I did.
Cricket.
Oh, yes. Well, they're continuing the angle of Jeff Jarrett being an MMA legend, an MMA know-it-all. Here's the thing. This is pointed out to me by Seidelman before the show tonight, and as I bring Carl back in here. Hey, Carl, how's it going?
Come on, you fucking thing.
Hi! Maybe I brought him on a little too early.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hi, you're reading here, yes?
Hi, sorry. Skype is being a pain in the ass tonight. I apologize.
Yes, it's okay. It's not your fault. Don't worry. We'll get Stuart Smalley to help you out because you're good enough, you're smart enough, and gosh darn it, people like you. Anyway.
Quit lying to me, Jim. Anyway.
Okay, fine. Jeff Jarrett, MMA know-it-all, as it were. I was surprised when Seidelman told me this, and see if any of you guys remember. This is not the first time something like this has been done. You go back about two decades in the AWA, the Major League of Professional Wrestling, and the living legend himself, Larry Zbyszko, was kind of put into a similar angle where he was Mr. Karate expert, karate enthusiast. It took me a moment, and it kind of clicked, but they're making this pay off, and he's, like, doing demonstrations, doing things for the kids, if you will, and, of course, the week before, he was showing off on would-be MMA types. What are your thoughts on this, aside from the fact, as Seidelman said when he talked to me jokingly, this is the first time I've seen Jarrett in shape in God knows how long.
Well, there is a video out there which TNA put out, which was on the show last week, which was shot by JB in a little karate dojo where five-year-old kids are being submitted to by Jeff Jarrett. It is absolutely, legitimately one of the funniest things I've seen, because these little kids are just, you know, acting, and Jeff Jarrett's being all serious, and, you know, and these little, you know, 4 or 5 year old kids are being submitted, you know, with the arm bar and the ankle lock, and it's great. It, you know what? I like it. It's fun. It's a, you know, it's cool. Joe's gonna kill him, but it's fun. It's revitalized Jarrett a little bit. You know?
Yeah, you need some revitalization. I would agree with that. Carl, what do you think? I know you watch a lot of TN among us.
Jeff Jarrett in shape, what's that?
Oh.
I think the last time he was in shape was all the way back in 2006.
Yeah, probably. But what do you think of the whole Jarrett angle?
Stupid. Move on, please.
Okay, fair enough. I didn't watch any of TNA. Like I mentioned, I make these prerequisites ahead of time. Did I miss anything significant from any of those who may have seen anything? Anything of note?
No.
I know Dixie came back, but...
Well,
yeah.
I believe she did. She? Yeah.
I don't know.
The other thing I knew is that while Jeff Jarrett is supposedly an MMA master, he still has the... he still has his favorite submission hold, the Gibson Crusher, better known as Elton Kong.
Crusher?
Yes.
Gibson is a guitar.
Gibson Crusher, yes.
Gotcha, okay.
Some of us prefer Epiphones, just saying. Just saying. Oh, wait, that is Gibson. Fenders, I'm sorry. See, I'm not a guitar guy.
No, Epiphone is a guitar. They make guitars, too.
No, but I thought it was a Gibson Epiphone.
You're right, Gibson. Yeah, anyway.
Well, all those Double Dare days from years gone by. Anyway, so there you go. That's your TNA report. I look forward to your letters, folks. A couple other things before we get to the final segment I wanted to get to. First of all, I want to backtrack to something I neglected when we were talking about Raw. Jason hit on it. I want to get the rest of you guys on it. CM Punk coming back. After he's done some commentary, as we heard Nikki mention last week, on Superstars with Scott Sanford. Of course, he did the 1 week of NXT, filling in, quote-unquote, for Michael Cole. The guy's a natural, and if his wrestling days are numbered, I'm not saying that they are, of course, he would be as natural as anybody to move over to the announce table. Anybody want to disagree on that?
No. Oh, no. He's good. He's smart. And you need smart people around the ring. You really do.
Absolutely. Now,
he's got sort of that Matt Stryker sort of vibe to him.
He does. I mean, he has a tweener vibe. Like, you know, you want it, you want to hate him, but God, the guy's too right, too dead on. He's too smart, too witty, if you will. My fear is he's going to be subjected to overproducing because, you know, hey, first couple of weeks, all well and good. Then he hears everybody yell in his ear. That'll be fun. Yeah, Mick Foley made many a mention in his book, of course, about the voices, as he called them. So I hope for the best because I think he's like the best thing that happened to Raw outside of the Miz winning the title, quite frankly and honestly.
Agreed.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully he stays on until he gets healthy enough to return to in-ring action, which hopefully will be in a few weeks. Or a couple of months, or what have you. A couple of quick news notes I wanted to know. If you had Luke Gallows getting his first indie job December 4th, you win. Luke Gallows has his first independent job since being fired from the E. He'll be at the New Energy Wrestling event in Locust Grove, Georgia, on December 4th. So good for you, Luke. Good to hear
he's
back
on.
He'll
be getting a lot of gigs, trust me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's a cool guy. And on a sadder note, there was an update on Bobby Heenan's condition earlier in the week, and it ain't good. He's been in and out of the coma at Tampa, according to Lanny Poffo. He reported on to the Poetry in Motion podcast. I don't know if anybody listens to that here. in and out of a coma at a Tampa, Florida hospital, is not doing good at all. He added that Heenan wasn't aware of anything and has been unconscious, and obviously our thoughts and prayers with Heenan and his family in this this rough time. It's a matter of time. I hate to say it.
Yeah. Nikki, you were saying? Nikki?
No, this has been corrected. David Harrow, a promoter, has sent out a message on Twitter, said that he spoke to Brain and said, no, he is not in a coma and he's not in a hospital. He's at home.
Well, that was the report I found.
No, you're fine. I'm just going to throw this in here. Bobby Heenan can't be on his last legs because he's still using his first ones.
Pretty much.
Excuse my language. He's a tough bastard, and you know what? He's beaten cancer. He's going to be around for a while, and put it to you this way, hopefully later rather than sooner, you know, when he is, you know, taken from us, you know, one of the greatest, if not the greatest manager in or personality in the history of wrestling, without question.
Personality is absolutely the word, and, you know, one of my favorites. Anytime I feel down, I go to my computer and I listen to some of his commentary with Gorilla Monsoon. It's just a thing of legend. You can never duplicate Camelot. So that was just great, and a great manager, of course, too. In our final 10 minutes here together, I figured, as again suggested by Rob, that we dole out some Butterballs, some ShopRite brand, some A&P brand, whatever brand you prefer. There have been moments over the course of the calendar year thus far that have made you say, what the bleepity bleep?
Yep.
That's why we have our turkeys.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're going to go around the room here. We're going to start with Forth, who I've neglected to say anything to. My apologies. Is there any gimmick, any storyline, any moment so far since January, or I guess technically since late December last year, that made you just say, what the more than anything else?
I would have to say the impact after Bound for Glory, without any doubt. That was just a horrible train wreck.
Okay. Fair enough. Let's go to Ethan, our noob, if you will, from the Los Angeles area.
And your noob is going to half-ass it and just give you one big generic turkey. It's the entirety of TNA. They're just completely all together. What the blank.
Understandable to certain extents. I mean, there are moments of glory with that promotion still, but Vince Russo has his hands in it. Enough said.
Exactly.
Carl, a turkey from you.
NXT Season 3.
There you go.
You don't like it when the ladies make the rain fall? Is that what you're telling me?
I'm just saying, it's probably the worst season yet.
If it is ladies. When you have to move something from basic cable, and I knew they were going to have to anyway, to the internet, and then you have to have Joey Styles lampooned in chat form and Twitter form to make it entertaining, I can understand that. I can't think of any redeeming qualities of NXT, especially now since AJ got voted off. Oh, yes.
Yeah, really.
I mean, she.
Yeah.
I need some natural dynamite in my life.
Absolutely. Oh, hi, I'm sorry. Speaking of leading ladies, we go to ours, Nikki Hayman, for a turkey from you.
Wow, I've got a toss-up, really.
Okay. You can give us multiple ones if you want. That's fine.
Well, somebody already took one of mine, which was the impact after Bound for Glory, and it's 6 minutes of wrestling. But there's a turkey that goes before that led us through that first moment. And that is the ultimate train wreck of the January 4th impact. Live, with the absolute worst production values in history, clusters of poor editing, and just random crap that just made me sit there with my head in my hands going, what were they thinking?
Exactly.
Now, if you
I remember watching some of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That made me drop the cluster F-bomb. It can be summed up to one man and one man only, and that is Mike Effing Cole.
Yeah.
His new character, I don't care if it's scripted, this man sounds and acts like the most unprofessional individual in broadcasting. Jim, you should be called for his head on a pike. We could do better than him and make a heel character out of it in the process.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to argue with you. There are moments where I just can't stand him. There are definitely those moments. There are certain parts where I kind of dig it, but now it's gone maybe so far that I'm not so sure. Maybe there's a war for him to correspond somewhere. I don't know. I guess not. Jason Block, a turkey or two from you.
Well, I mean, a lot of the turkeys were taken, but I'm going to give you a person that should not be on this list, but his actions made him a turkey, and that is one Matthew Hardy.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because he went from pretty much being one of the top faces of SmackDown to being, well, one of the top drunk people on the internet, or at least sick people on the internet. His actions, his tweets, his quote-unquote split personality between Matt and Matthew, his, you know, ramblings on the internet, whether they are sober or drunk, whether, you know, he used the internet one too many times and basically almost pissed away his wrestling legacy. And now we have seen the second drug addicted, and Matt, if you want to sue me, bring it, Hardy brother, who has used the internet for or against him. And it's actually been really sad to watch because I have respected the ring work of both Jeff and Matthew, but they both need help. They really legitimately need to take about a year off, go into rehab, and if in Jeff's case is go to prison, and get their asses straightened the fuck out. And don't post drunken ramblings on the internet. Just go away, clean your image back up, and then come back into the ring. And I also, in a way, blame, you know, a lot of the fans and the cultists of the Hardys for enabling them to get to this point. I mean, that is really the turkey for me. I mean, of course, Michael Cole's a douchebag. TNA is terrible. TNA is terrible. We all know those certain things, but this is the real turkey for me because it's the saddest moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would agree. That makes a lot of sense.
Right quick.
Go ahead, Carl.
You were spot on with Jeff because I met the guy in person and he looks like, yeah. Anyway.
He was not all there, per se.
Right.
Yeah. A couple of things come to mind quickly for me. Turning an actual concussion into a storyline.
Oh, please.
That comes to mind.
Surprise, you didn't
and
bring that
the
up.
And the concept of TNA actually thinking they can compete against Raw. Monday Night Wars 2.0, more like Monday Night Wars 0.5, if you ask me. I think
2.0 was the difference between the Raw rating and the Impact rating.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
yes, indeed. We're just about out of time, so I'm just going to save enough time to thank Nikki for allowing me to pinch hit for her. She will be in the chair she belongs in. Hopefully she will not whack me in the head with a chair. I ask of that. I mean, don't go coast to coast on me with a chair, please. I'm a delicate, gentle, kind soul. My thanks to Forth. My thanks to Ethan. My thanks to Carl. My thanks to Jason. Carl, I'll shamelessly plug for him. The VS Big Show, we're apparently going midnight to what, one?
Yeah.
As soon as this show's over, blogtalkradio.com/BSBigShow, talking Thursday Night Football and such. So go there or something. So for all the cast, I hope you had a good holiday weekend. Enjoy the sales. And next week, Nikki's back where she belongs, hosting the North American Wrestling Connection. You have been warned. Good night, and have a better tomorrow.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye, folks.
Thanks again, guys.
Thank you.